Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it is 9:50 here at WCCO. Welcome. You're listening to Steel Talking and Center Stage. In fact, just a few minutes of Center Stage tonight after hearing that incredible performance that was down at the St. Paul Hotel. We sure hope that you enjoyed it. I know that my peers really enjoy doing that and bringing that to life. And each year we try to do something really, really special. And I just think that's amazing. One day I'm going to get a chance to actually go and sit and be a part of it all. Well, I want to say that we are so grateful for all of the amazing shows that are going on. Thank you so much to those who came out to support my family and I on this weekend, Friday and Saturday at the Fitzgerald Theater. You were amazing audiences. Your support is what just gives us flight. We keep wanting to do this for you. No matter how many times in mid-May we say, oh, maybe I shouldn't. We still do it because we know that bringing it to you is such joy for us, and you receive that joy. So thank you for your kind thoughts. Thank you for supporting us. And remember, the CD, which is called The Best Christmas, featuring also our sister Janice on the CD, that is out now. And it my girlfriend just told me she downloaded the whole album on iTunes, so it's now available. Again, it's called The Best Christmas, The Steels. Well, we have one guest tonight for Center Stage, and I am excited to introduce him to you. Now, some of you have heard of him and have heard him even here on this particular show, Center Stage. Well, he's a part of the Minnesota Orchestra family, the director of Live at Orchestra Hall. His name is Grant Meacham. How are you, Grant?
Good to see you. Talk to you, Geraldine. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. My goodness, this December is flying, and you guys have been very busy over at Orchestra Hall. Of course, you've had some great shows already, but you've got some great shows coming up. Kevin Kling, George Winston, and so many others. Tell us what's up.
Well, this week we are premiering the first installment of the Minnesota Orchestra's new holiday show, which is called Home for the Holidays. And we've turned to some artistic collaborators who are exactly the people you want to put the ball in their hands when you're trying something new. So, of course, in addition to my colleague Sarah Hicks, who's our principal conductor, we have Peter Rothstein, Kevin Kling, and Robert Elhai, a trio of people who conceived a brand new holiday show that puts the Minnesota Orchestra at the center of it. So it's a brand new show which Peter Rothstein and Kevin have conceived and Kevin has written, and we have original music by Robert Elhai featuring the Minnesota Orchestra.
Remarkable. I just absolutely love Kevin's work, and I think it's a beautiful marriage between you all. So, and then, of course, Sarah. I cannot wait to work with her. I just want you to know that.
Oh, lovely.
But now, you also have, did the Harry Potter thing happen already? Am I
late?
The
very last performance was this afternoon.
Today.
I'm proud to say 10,000 people in the Twin Cities turned out to see this over 3 days. I mean, 10,000 people, first of all, you can't go wrong with Harry Potter, and 10,000 people to hear the Minnesota Orchestra play live is just a fantastic thing.
It really is, and congratulations on that. Did they dress up for that, by the way?
Oh, I was in the lobby high-fiving kids in Hufflepuff scarves.
That's awesome. You have so much more happening. Tell us more.
Well, it's the very last thing you're going to see on this holiday season at Orchestra Hall. I wish you could keep going, but George Winston, who's become a regular guest here, will be playing on the evening of the 22nd at Orchestra Hall. It's always just a nice, contemplative, reflective evening, just Mr. Winston and his piano alone in this beautiful hall.
Now, those that don't know the famous man, can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, Mr. Winston has been active on the music scene for probably 5 decades at this point. His approach to music is one that is very just sort of internal and contemplative, and it really just sort of makes you sit back and think and ponder, you know, how the sounds that he's making, how they reflect in the environment around him. And he's just a wonderful guest to have here at Orchestra Hall. So it's two very different nights. Of course, on December 21st, you'll have this brand new show with Peter and Kevin and this great cast of local actors. It's really about the joy of the season and what it means to be in Minnesota. And then, of course, the next night we welcome in Mr. Winston to give us the more contemplative parts of the season.
Congratulations on having a wonderful 2017. And then in 2018, I got to mention the Steels will be with the Minnesota Orchestra.
Oh, absolutely. Little vocal group you might have heard of called the Steels.
And, of course, we will be a part of Chuck Lazarus' show. And it's called the New American Songbook, and we are really excited to sing the songs from Gershwin all the way to Prince. Really a remarkable idea.
And I will say it, everyone who turned out to see the Steels at the Fitz this weekend, even if you see the Steels every time they're out, you've got to come see the show. The Steels with Charles Lazarus, who's just one of the great trumpet players working in the Twin Cities scene today, with arrangements by Tommy Barbarella, who worked in another group you might have heard of called the New Power Generation.
That's
it's
right.
A marriage of all these wonderful collaborators. It's going to be just an evening of fantastic music on April 6th.
We cannot wait. We will see you there, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that is Grant Meacham. Thanks so much for joining us, sir.
Thanks so much, Carol. Happy holidays.
You too. And if you want more information, just go to minnesotaorchestra.org. Again, that's minnesotaorchestra.org to get tickets to any of the events that he just mentioned tonight. And I have to say, it really is flying this December. But it starts all over again in January. Isn't that right? And here in Minnesota, we are so supportive. So thank you for all that you do for every one of us who bring you the arts. We are honored to be a part of this family here in the great state of Minnesota. And I want to remind you that Chan Hansen Dinner Theaters is presenting us for Center Stage every Sunday night. Thank you so much to Chan Hansen. Also, we want to let you know that Sister Act at Chan Hansen Dinner Theaters is running through February 24th. That's going to come up awfully fast. So get over there and check out the show. Again, you just go to chanhassendt.com. That's chanhassendtfordinnertheater.com. Also, Life Could Be a Dream through February 19th is at the Old Log Theater. Annie, I'm taking my granddaughter to see Annie, and I can't wait. We're going to see it. It's playing now through December 31st at the Ordway. Also, Phantom of the Opera is through December 31st at the Ord. I don't think that's the Ordway. I think Phantom of the Opera is at the Orpheum Theater, not the Ordway, so I apologize for that. Also, Triple Espresso. They have returned through February 15th at the Ames Center in Burnsville. Also, A Christmas Carol Tuesday through December 30th at the Guthrie Theater. A Gone Fishing Christmas through December 31st at the Yellow Tree Theater in Osseo. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I'm taking my granddaughter to see that as well. That is at the Children's Theater until January 7th. Do not forget the Petersons. The Petersons are in concert. They were in concert this weekend, and they are in concert tomorrow night. That's their last show tomorrow night. I don't know if there are any tickets still available, but all you have to do is go to the DakotaCooks.com, DakotaCooks.com, or you can just call 612-332-JAZZ. Check them out. The Polarizing Express Dysfunction Junction. It's now through January 27th at the Brand New Workshop. A lot of great concerts. The Sounds of Blackness are in concert on December 23rd. You don't want to miss that. They only have, what, maybe 10 tickets left. But that is at the famous Fitzgerald Theater on December 23rd, right before Christmas Eve. Oh, Robert Robinson is Wednesday at the Dunsmore Room at Crooners as well. Oh, my goodness, so much going on. George Winston, you just heard, Friday Orchestra Hall. You do not want to miss it. All right, you guys, coming up is our final hour. We do not have Michael Battle joining us, but I will be here in this seat. And of course, you are always welcome to join us at 651-989-9226. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 10:09 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. Now, if you hear this music by a group called Little Miss, I have to tell you, you know that it's not the Mom and Michael hour, right? That's right. Michael is not able to join us. He just left town today and was part of that big concert of ours. Oh, I adore that child. Woo! I tell you, I'm excited to be back in studio with you. I miss you when I'm not here for a whole night. I hope you had a chance to listen to the big show tonight. And, you know, there's a lot going on in our world. And sometimes just to listen to a really interesting and sweet and poignant moments in a piece that we played tonight was, I think that means a lot. Coming up on December 24th, of course, we're going to have 24 hours. Do I have that correct? Brendan, it is 24 hours of music, correct?
I believe so.
On Christmas Eve. And I'm really looking forward to that. That's one of my favorite things, just to have Christmas music all day long, even into Christmas Day. And there's so much Christmas music out there. You know, don't get disappointed when you hear some stations that play the same thing over and over again. There's so much Christmas music out there. And I really encourage you to, you know, support those that are local, those that are stateside, and You know, those that you wouldn't normally listen to, just try them out. I had a chance to listen to, what's the name of Siberian Trans,
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
The whole album. I didn't know they had a few singers, like leading songs and stuff like that. I'm so used to them doing instrumentals, but they were smoking. I really liked the album. The singers were okay, but they were passionate about it. That's what I love, you know? So that was really fun. Also, I want to say that, I am trying to figure out what I can do, what I can cook this year that's really different for the menu with our family. Remember I was telling you one Sunday that, you know, we do the same menu twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Drives me nuts. I just want something else interesting added to it. I'm not trying to take away. Have the same meal, you know, the turkey and the dressing and the macaroni and cheese and the greens and collard greens and okra and green beans and peas and cornbread and homemade rolls and ham and
chitlins.
Chitlins. You did get there, didn't you? Oh, you have no idea, man. Breaks my heart. If there was one thing I'd like to replace, it would be that. It would be that. So I've gotten over it. My mother is not cooking them this year. She didn't cook them last year. My sister Javita did. Thank you, Javita. I did not have to come to work smelling like chitlins. God help you. What a blessing. Anyway, I want to find something to cook, you know, and I thought about frying a turkey. And I was just sitting here talking with Brandon during the break. And, you know, if you were to fry a turkey, Gerling, you would probably burn something down. I am scared to death to try it. Now, I can fry some chicken. Don't play. But no. I have not tried the turkey. And, Brendan, you said a friend of yours actually had a chance to try something different, and she tried to fry
chicken. She's trying buttermilk fried chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is delicious, you know,
right?
If you get that right. But
right.
She's not much of a cook now. She's trying to become one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was giving her the advice. That's kind of a big undertaking. For someone who's kind of new, to really do fried chicken.
Well, what would you have suggested?
I think I would start, if you're bound and determined to do chicken, let's work on a stir fry. Let's work on,
okay,
on, you know, something like that. Maybe even coq au vin or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just the frying oil is a tricky thing for anyone.
What is coq au vin?
It's a French dish that it's a chicken breast, but usually you pair chicken with white wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a red wine sauce.
Oh, nice. Nice. Do you make that?
I have in the past.
Well, hey now, why aren't you married? What is the deal?
Because I'm always here.
That's awesome. Yeah, right. We're always working. Always working. Yeah, yeah. You know, all the tools that you need to fry a turkey is a bit imposing for me. You know, it's a little overwhelming. You know, it's like having a child that you have to tend to fry a turkey. Seriously, it's not for anyone who just thinks they can go out and just fry a turkey. Have you tried that?
I have tried fried turkey. I've never been in charge of it.
Right.
I am a big proponent of the baking just because I feel like you have a little more control and can do more unique stuff with it. Because you can't, you know, baste or reseason if something's in a fryer.
Right.
Once it's down there, it's down there.
It's down there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good if you got the right people doing it. So I'm not quite sure what I actually thought about figgy pudding. I don't know. I was singing this song. It came to me and I went, what if I bought, if I brought over figgy pudding for people to try?
Sounds really good.
Did you hear that? That silence? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Have you tried it before?
Yes, I love figgy pudding.
You love it?
Yeah.
Have you tried making it?
No. Desserts, mm-hmm, are you a little outside my wheelhouse usually?
Well, you know, I would say it's the same with me. You know, I used to be able to make or bake really great cookies and a pretty good pound cake, but that was a long time ago. So I wouldn't try it today. Plus, there's so many great places to go and pick that sort of thing up.
Exactly.
But when it's homemade and then people brag about it, right? I have an aunt that would make these special pecans, you know. I've never had pecans like that. And she gave the recipe to Javita's oldest son, Kenyari, because he's a foodie, right? And he asked her for it, and she was 90 something years old. She said, yep, here you go. So now he makes it every year. She's gone now. And so it's a special thing. We feel like a piece of her is there. That's really sweet, I think. But yeah, if I were to make figgy pudding, I'm not quite sure if it would be a hit. And as I look up the recipe, because I'm seriously, I have not looked up the recipe at all. And there are so many great places, you know, websites to go to figure out what you can try. But I seem to leave out one ingredient, one key ingredient every time I bake. What is that? I mean, is that like Gerald really doesn't want to bake? Because, you know, it's one thing if you're baking a cake and you've got all the ingredients sitting out in front of you, right, in order of when they're supposed to go in, but you forget the butter. Do you understand what that means when you forget the butter in a cake? So I stopped trying to bake cakes. I leave that up to the professionals, right? And so figgy pudding, okay, as I sit here and I look at
this is I'm looking at a recipe myself. This is ambitious.
It's ambitious. You got that right. I just noticed that too. 16 ounces of dried figs. I mean, the recipe calls for things that most of us have in our, you know, pantry. So that's not so bad. But it, you know, how long does this take? It says it takes 2 hours and 30 minutes. See. That's a bit much. I need something under an hour.
My usual dessert solution is take ice cream out of freezer, put in bowl. There you go.
You know, the simple things in life can be really good. Like, yep. I made my mom a grilled cheese sandwich the other day. I went and bought some cheeses, like hot pepper cheese and, you know, Monterey Jack and Swiss. And you know how they have those listed. And I kind of mixed it up on her bread and had buttered on both sides of the bread. And she really enjoyed it because she has a toothache right now. So that was easy on the, you know, the palate. And I just thought this was really fun. I hadn't made a grilled cheese sandwich in a long time. But City Pages has an article that I thought was really interesting called A New Grilled Cheese Shop Hires and Empowers People with a Criminal Record. Have you heard about this, Brendan? I was just shocked. I thought this is really an interesting way to deal with it. The company is called All Squared. They're going to offer things like peanut butter and jelly, milk and cookies, chips and salsa, grilled cheese, of course, and so much more. And why are they doing this? Well, for the last year, a woman named Emily Hunt Turner has been working on a gourmet grilled cheese shop called All Squares, you just heard me say, a fast, casual concept that takes its name from more than just the shape of its sandwiches. She believes that, well, first of all, she's a civil rights attorney who spent years working in prisoner reentry, fair housing, and segregation for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is HUD. Wonder if she's met Ben Carson before. Has anyone met Ben Carson before? Okay, enough of that. And the longer she says that she was with HUD, the more she realized how broken the criminal justice system is. Wow. Anybody can see the criminal justice system is broken. Now, once you have a record, Turner explains, it's largely game over. You can be denied access to housing or to jobs because you've been incarcerated. It's often against the law for you to stay with friends and family members who live in public housing, right? She said, I think the question that I was facing, this is Emily speaking, she said, they don't get to realize this position that we promised them, that they're square, that they're in fact free to move forward, that they can be a citizen again, really. Well, Emily, that we all know that that's not the deal. It's increasingly a problem, she said, given that the U.S. locks up way more people per capita than any other nation. We know this. I am not proud of it, by the way. Every time I read that stat, I get pretty upset about that. That should not be who we are. Than any other nation? Oh, my goodness. So All Square offers a simple solution. They employ those who have been incarcerated, and that's exactly what it will do when it opens in South Minneapolis next year, early next year, by the way. Now, you may think that's kind of weird for her to open a gourmet grilled cheese sandwich. I don't even know if grilled cheese sandwiches are popular anymore. I mean, I don't know of any gourmet shops near me, but every restaurant you go in just about has a grilled cheese option for lunch, at least. So it must be somewhat popular.
It's kind of enjoying that little period where, you know, food will be like the hipster food for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Grilled cheese is enjoying that, right?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So it's not just up and coming. It's there.
Yeah. And, you know, you can make grilled cheese as elaborate as you want it to be. But there's, you know, there's melting Kraft on bread. Mm-hmm. But then there's really making a grilled cheese. And those are spectacular. Like what you
and did. It's all about the cheese.
Yeah.
It's all about the cheese, man. Okay, if you want to make a gourmet sandwich, the bread has to be fantastic. The butter is important. Do not reach in your cupboard and get some old butter, first of all. Butter can expire. And then second of all, make sure that you really butter, I think, the top and bottom of the slice of bread. You know, I know people who do top and bottom of one piece of bread and then only the bottom of the other. And then they put the cheese in. So you only have that butter. No, no, no. You know, this is not your moment to start thinking about calories. If you're going to make a grilled cheese sandwich, just get the butter. Get the real butter out. If you want to get the unsalted butter, fine, but get the real butter out. Go get you some Land O'Lakes. Get it done. Okay? And I tell you, it is absolute joy in your mouth. It really is. So if you want to know more about this nonprofit that is coming forward to do this, All Square, it has a board of directors. It's composed of lawyers and activists, but also folks who have been formerly incarcerated. And there's an educational component at work here, too. So thanks to a 13-month institute for former fellows, felons, that offers not just a paid internship, but professional development, personal wellness, and financial literacy training. So it's kind of making the person getting them a little closer to being whole. And they had to go to Kickstarter last year to get this started, and they raised $60,000 for this. So obviously people believe that this should be happening. So if you want more information, all you have to do is check them out. They're going to be located at All Square, 4047, there you go, 4047 Minnehaha Avenue. And again, it's opening in early 2018. I'm going to go check it out myself. I can enjoy a good grilled cheese sandwich at least once a year. It is now 10:27 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Anytime you want to join us, just give us a call here at CCO. The number is 651-989-9226. You are listening to Steel Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. I have not been able to shake this cold. Can I just say this? I came back from Mountain View, California, where I was there for Thanksgiving for a week. And my mother came back with a little pneumonia, and I came back with this terrible virus, cold, flu. I still don't have a name for it, but it's awful. And there are so many people that are sick with this. Now, here's the thing. You get a little weird voice with it. I feel great. When I first came back, I was cold all the time. I had chills. It was, you know, felt just like the flu. But now I've gotten over all of that, and it still is affecting my voice a little bit. And it drives me nuts, can I just say. But it has spread across the country, and we are hearing about so many people that are stuck with this. And I know they've been giving prednisone to try to help with the whole voice thing, but then it's been coming back on people, and that is so frustrating. So if you have any suggestions on how you got rid of it, you know, I've been exercising, you know, just trying to, you know, keep moving and get the toxins out of my body, and I think I've gotten rid of all of them except for this one thing, the voice. And this is my gift, so I have a hard time with that. Yes, sir, Brandon. Hand up in the
air. I have a suggestion.
Yes.
This all started when you came back from vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go back on vacation. That fix everything. That was the mistake, clearly, coming back.
Well, oh, if only that were it. I keep thinking that even though I'm sleeping, I sleep 12 hours or 8 hours or 7 hours, I'm getting my rest, drinking lots of water and fluids. I know all of that. The honey and lemon and water and herbal teas, I know all of that. I have one of those heating pads that have lavender in it that my sister-in-law gave me, and it's just wonderful. And you rub down some Vicks Ath, or you make your own with Vaseline and like peppermint oil or eucalyptus oil, and you put that on your chest and then lay that lavender heated pad on there, and it just does you, it does your body good, right? But it's been a real challenge for me. So if you have a suggestion, don't hesitate to either text us, or you can call us here at 651-989-9226. Also, my daughter was in town. My son, I just told you, he's back in L.A., but my daughter is here for the holidays. Michael will be back for Christmas, but boy, can I just tell you how wonderful it's been? But I miss my son-in-law. He wasn't able to make it this year because the job he works, He has to work until 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve. He has Christmas Day off, and then he's right back at work early on the 26th. So it just breaks my heart that he's not here. But we've been talking, and I'm just hoping that he will be able to join us next year. But my two granddaughters are in town, and many of you who are at the Steel Show, you had a chance to see them. They were there both nights, and Fola Shade is 6 months old now. That is a big piece of cheese. You talk about grilled cheese. This child is so heavy. She's like 18 to 20 pounds. 18 to 20 pounds, and just as pretty as she can be. So we're going to have to take a break. It is now 10:36 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talk, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. And yes, I do apologize. We do not have the Mom and Michael Hour tonight. My son, Michael Battle, just left today going back to Los Angeles after participating in two big shows at the Fitzgerald Theater with his family, the Steels. And he was wonderful. So I hope you enjoyed seeing the show. And I understand that it was actually streamed live on Facebook. And so that was shocking to all of us. My gosh. But we were really grateful that we had a chance to have our children involved in that show. You know, the Fitzgerald Theater is right across the street from McNally Smith. And I just found out that they're closing due to lack of funds. I found that out Saturday night, and it just broke my heart. I keep saying to myself, when a music school dies, when a music program dies, that is painful. And Men Post reported on this. It says the college can't make payroll, not even today, but it's asking faculty to consider finishing the term and issuing grades as usual. The fall commencement ceremony is set for December 16th, so that's already gone. And portions of the email sent to the faculty on Thursday afternoon by the board chair, Jack McNally, you know, they posted a bit of that. And Jack is, you know, I don't know him personally. I've never, you know, been to his home or anything like that. But I've met him and his family. And I just, I'm really sorry to hear this. I deeply, deeply, deeply am sorry to hear that McNally is closing. There are so many names on the faculty list at McNally that many of us know, and it's mentioned in the article as well. Musicians who are active in bands, clubs, series, and shows around the Twin Cities and beyond. Jeff Bailey is a bassist, and has traveled the world. Also Gary Rayner, who was a part of Prayer Home for a long time, and, brass and woodwind players, Pete Whitman, Adam Meckler, and Scott Axter. Then composers and songwriters are also going to be adversely affected by the close of this school. Mary Jane Alm, someone I traveled all the way to Russia with, a really gifted writer and singer and performer, Joe Horton and Adia Shah. Oh my gosh. Guitarist Eva Benicke, Chris Olsen, and David Singley. How about hip hop artists Toki Wright and Kevin Washington, who is a, you know, big time drummer, keyboard artist Dan Musselman, and Peter Schminke. I always call him Animo from from Sesame Street, because he's just that guy when he plays. Percussionist Reed Kennedy, and so many more. It was very sad to read about the closing of McNally Smith. So when I left the Fitzgerald Theater on Saturday night, and it was very late, about 11 o'clock, I remember just looking over at the school and thinking, wow, another one bites the dust. This hurts my heart. So we're just hoping, you know, hoping that something more will come out of this, that, you know, they will move forward and open something else, even if it's under a different name, but just open something else. And I know you're probably asking, well, how did they get there? Well, it says in the article, if you're a student or faculty member at McNally Smith College of Music, you'll remember Thursday, December 14th as a dark day. That's when everyone learned that the college will close on Wednesday, December 20th, this coming Wednesday, and not close for Christmas break, but shut down for good. The college even can't even make payroll. And just when you hear that, as a musician, I can imagine how painful this is for everyone involved, especially the leadership. So those musicians who are listening tonight, those faculty members, those board members, and to so many more, the students, I can truly feel this pain. as a musician. You guys have had amazing concerts. What about the concert hall? What about the McNally Hall? Is that auditorium going to stay open? Is that going to close? What's going to happen to that? So many questions. But it'll be gone by Wednesday. So if you get a chance, and if you're in St. Paul, do stop in and say thank you. Thank you for what you have developed in our children. And there have been many who have come from far and wide. And we actually had a Grammy Award winner actually lead that school at one time. So, you know, the people that they brought in to work there, the people that they brought in to teach there. I've never taken a class there, but I do know the caliber of the musicians that work there, many of them. So, wow. I'm not even sure if Jay Young still works there, but he used to work there as well. You've heard him many times with different bands in town. And what better teacher to have than somebody who is in the business that you're trying to get into, right? So it's so much more than just learning the music. They also teach about the business. They have different seminars. I've been a part of a panel discussion once over there. So if you get a chance, you know, write them an email or send them a note saying thank you. Many students have come out of McNally and have gone on to do big things and work with some pretty big artists here in the Twin Cities because, you know, people come to Minnesota to record quite often. I'm just really sad to hear about this. Just kind of broke my heart. Also, I want to mention the U of M is doing a really interesting thing. I don't know if you heard about this, where they have a program that's helping the military veterans through beekeeping. Now, this article came out in MinnPost on December 11th, and I didn't get a chance to read it immediately, but it's a really interesting story. It's about a couple, Mike Roche and his wife, Diane, who decided to do one of those do-it-yourself beehive kits. And I don't know about you guys. I would never even think to do something like that. Brendan, would you ever think to just start raising keeping bees and all of that? Would you just think, oh, yeah, that's cool?
No, I feel like I wouldn't do things consciously to really ramp up the amount of anxiety in my life.
This is what I'm telling you, right? I will buy the honey. I don't need to. But the bees are so important. You know, we've lost billions of bees.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not disputing their necessity. Oh, I just I am aware enough of myself to say I should not be the guy tending them.
No, it's never going to happen. I won't be the woman doing it either, so there you go. But it's interesting that they decided to do this do-it-yourself beehive kit. And they planned to raise bees on their small Virginia farm, but then life got in the way. Mike was a Vietnam veteran, he was still active in the U.S. Marine Corps, and the couple moved around a lot. And each time they packed up for a new tour of duty, they brought their unused beehive kit with them. Well, 10 years passed, and Mike got a job working for the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the couple resettled in Virginia, where they revived their dream of raising honeybees. And one day, thousands of bees arrived by mail at the U.S. Post Office, and Mike had to go to Africa for 3 weeks. The bees came, and of course, Diane had to put them all together and place the bees and the queen into the hive. You go, Diane. 70 years old, by the way, Diane, who did that. And before long, their hive was thriving. They got into the rhythm of harvesting honey in their kitchen each fall, bottling the sticky amber liquid that we all love into half-pint mason jars. But within a few years, the hive died off, as we've heard so much about this across the world, and beekeeping slipped out of their lives. But when the couple retired and moved to Watertown, Minnesota, love Watertown, great performing arts center there, Mike Roche resumed his beekeeping, a passion that sustained him until he died this past May. Now, all the bees work for the welfare of the hive, as we know, and that mattered a great deal to her husband, said Diane, and she decided to keep this going. Can you believe that? It was something that was enjoyable and peaceful in dealing with the bees that he just loved, so why not? And they wanted something. She wanted to carry on something that he really wanted to happen, and that's the military veterans to experience this whole thing of keeping bees. So they decided to do it and offer it. This is not an easy thing to do. The training to make sure that someone knows the tender care of the bees, they are finicky. I don't know why it's so easy to lose bees, but we have lost so many of them. You have to rent them out. I mean, you have to order them just to be able to pollinate. and then you collect them again and you send them off to someplace else. It's really a remarkable how many bees we have lost. So when I see a bee, in fact, this past summer, there was a bee on the patio table, and it was a bunch of us outside, about 12 of us outside, and laughing and talking, and they were like, oh no, you know, a bee, a bumblebee, we gotta, you know, I don't want to be stung, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, is that a wasp? Is it a bee? It doesn't look like a bumblebee to me. And then they started smacking it, right? And I thought, oh, no, no, we need every bee we can get. Well, we did find out it was a hornet, so it was okay. Smack away.
You're like, oh, it's a hornet. Go nuts. Go nuts.
Just go nuts. You know, did not care about that at all. But man, to know that someone really cared enough to start offering beekeeping to the veterans, I was very curious to find out why in the world would they want to do this. And so the idea was floated of creating a beekeeping program specifically for military veterans. And Diane says she didn't come up with the idea, but by the time she met Roche, Mike Roche, it was on her to-do list, and Mike was immediately sold. He just said, Becky, you put this together, and I'll write you a blank check. Hey, now. And that's how the Bee Veterans Program first got started, and it's still going on today. So if you want to read the article in its entirety, just go to minpost.com. Again, that's minpost.com, and it is entitled The U of M Program That Helps Military Veterans Through Beekeeping. Can I just say as a side note that I think the University of Minnesota is a remarkable school and that they have done so much that we all don't know about. You know, I've had a chance to really do some reading and studying on the U of M and what they have accomplished. And I'm hoping to do a show on that. I'm hoping to get a guest on to really, really talk about how remarkable their research has been, from the doctors to the, you name it, the things that we've created at the University of Minnesota. It's, we should be very proud of it, but we should also know about it. So I know there's a big campaign called Driven, I believe it is, and it's out there, and they're trying to let people know these are things that we've accomplished. This is who we are. This is part of Minnesota's legacy. And a lot of us don't know how much they've done. So I'm hoping that I can bring in a list and just kind of mention a whole bunch of things that have come out of the University of Minnesota that has made our world better. Not just our communities, not just Minnesota, our state, not just our nation, but the world better. And I don't attend the University of Minnesota, so trust me, this is not about that. I'm a St. Kate's girl and a Concordia College girl, Concordia University girl. I've never been a part of the campus of the University of Minnesota. But when I found out what they were doing in research, it really is remarkable. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up hopefully right after the first of the year. Are we going to take a break? We'll be back in just a moment.
About that bass.
I don't know why I like that. I do. I think she's adorable. Welcome back. You are listening to the final minutes of Steel Talking. Hey, you guys. You know, I've been telling my family I'm not a bad driver. Okay, no, that's not what I tell them. I tell them I am a bad driver, but I'm also a safe driver, right? Not having the accidents and that sort of thing. And my sister says to me, it's ridiculous. She said, those two don't go together. But I really am not that great of a driver, you guys. So I have to really concentrate when I'm driving because I do enjoy driving. But man, my daughter was following me yesterday to a restaurant and yeah, I don't even think I want to tell you what happened, but I'm really grateful we made it safely. But I forget when someone's following me and oh man, and I wasn't on the phone or distracted. Just I'm not that great of a driver, but I am a safe driver. Seriously. So. The Pioneer Press reported that there are disgruntled motorists in Minnesota that can now say that they have statistical evidence of their claims that their state has some of the worst drivers in the country. I was kind of surprised. I'm probably in that number and it doesn't feel good, but you got to be honest. According to a newly released study by insurance company Quote Wizard, Minnesota is the second ranked state in the country for the worst drivers. That is up 9 spots from the same study released in 2016, just a year ago. that had Minnesota ranked as the 11th worst state for bad drivers. Well, who's taking numbers, really? I mean, who's doing this? In determining how each state is ranked, the study takes a number of different factors into consideration. Those factors include accidents, speeding tickets, DUIs, citations, and fatalities. Now, according to the study's metrics, Minnesota saw big increases in 2017 in accidents, speeding, and citations. As to the cause of these increases, Quote Wizard says that Minnesota's brutal winter weather, along with the state's infamous Minnesota nice mentality, makes drivers passive-aggressive and indecisive behind the wheel. Okay, I totally disagree with this. I don't know how they came to this. Let me tell you what I think. This is just my personal opinion. First of all, it's not as many Minnesotans on the road as we think. And the Minnesota nice thing really does work. We pull up to a light, and we actually don't beep if somebody misses the light. You probably think, like I think, hey, maybe God is saving me from something, so don't rush. If I don't have to rush, I don't rush. I'm not going to beep at someone for not turning on the signal or, you know, not going right away. You just never know how your life can be spared. So I just think that's a Minnesota nice mentality makes drivers passive aggressive and indecisive behind the wheel. I don't know. Do you agree with that, Brendan?
No. I don't feel like Minnesota would be in the top five worst driving states.
But we are.
Yeah, because my issue is, how are you empirically measuring things like worse driving? Like, what is your objective standard by which you are establishing this?
Well, we are only second to California. Can I just
say that? I disagree with that.
That's insane. That's impossible.
Have the person who put that list together never driven on the East Coast?
Have they ever been to New York?
Yeah.
Boston? Really? California came in as number one on the list, according to Quote the Wizard. Five of the top 10 cities with the worst drivers are in California, including Sacramento. My sister Janice lived there for years, which was ranked as the worst city in the country to drive in. Oh, come on. I have driven the streets of Sacramento several times, and I was comfortable. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I'm a bad driver.
I'll offer you a sleeper. Worst driver city in the country. Bismarck, North Dakota.
No.
Yeah, I will absolutely say that, not because they're driving fast or aggressively, but multiple times when I have been driving in Bismarck down a road, someone has just stopped in the road because they knew someone on the sidewalk, and they were just talking with them.
No, so they didn't pull over.
No, they just straight up stopped.
Now, that's bizarre. That's a real problem. I don't know how that happened. Ponder. You must ponder on this. The crown of the best state to drive in goes to Rhode Island. Really? They also took home the top honors in 2016. How many people are in Rhode Island?
Well, it's probably easy to be the best if you don't have that many people around.
If you don't have
that many. Wyoming's up there too, then.
Yeah, probably. Wyoming. I have to tell you my story of going to Wyoming one time. You know, we flew into South Dakota, I think it was Rapid City. Is that Rapid City, South Dakota? I think it is. And they sent a limo to pick us up. We were performing in Gillette, Wyoming. Really, really sweet people. But honest to goodness, we pulled up to the hotel in this limo. It must have been the only limousine in town. We didn't ask for a limo. We needed a ride from from the airport and that 2-hour drive to Gillette. And then we get there and this woman comes out. She's drunk. She just got married. And she says, so who the hell are you? Yeah, she really did. Who are you pulling up in something like that? I'm driving a Jeep and I just got married. Oh, that was our welcome wagon. But boy, we really did have some really sweet people that we met in Gillette, Wyoming. Only once we perform there. Only once. It's been a pleasure being here with you tonight. I really appreciate you sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. Please remember that Michael will be back with us next week. In fact, he'll be home, so he'll be on live in studio, and I'm looking forward to that. Until then, make sure you take good care of you, all right? I'm looking forward to seeing you then. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.